Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
So what I say about Andrew Berry, like, go with me on this. You don't think it'd be a good idea to wait until after the draft? Because I've seen teams now wait until after the draft because it kind of puts them, it puts you in a bad spot. And go back to where they did with John Dorsey, where they got rid of Sashi Brown during the season, early December, I think it was, brought in John Dorsey early. John Dorsey's your new guy. He got a month head start as opposed to everybody else.
Yeah, typically the scouts will stay, and so you still have the scouts, and people say, well, what sense does that make? I think there is the thought around the league and just in being able to have the opportunity to talk to scouts over the years that, yes, you might have different directives from GMs that you're working under, but the information is the information. The data is the data, and you have all your regional scouts. You have your top 100 scouts. You have all those guys that even if they're not necessarily aligned with your values, you still take into consideration their data so that when GMs do get replaced, you still have a bunch of guys that are working because they want their jobs. They want to try to show that they're valuable to the team and that they could be retained.
Well, my issue is we've had data-driven picks before. The data shows that a lot of these guys were supposed to be good picks. Our problem has been, you know, are we going to find guys that actually have some character with them? And we've had some character issues, whether or not it be on, and I'm not talking about just off the field stuff. I'm talking about on the field. You know, the argument about it. We can sit there and dance around it all we want, and they can get muffled all they want. It's a sincere argument among the fan base and among a lot of major pundits out there of whether or not Jed Wills really wants to be a football player and really wants to be a top end football player for the Cleveland Browns. Okay, well, you drafted him 10th overall. Like, that's something you have to answer to at some point. And my issue is you're leaving me with no outs. Like, I can make all the excuses in the world for Kevin Stefanski. Now, there's things that I don't know. But how many excuses can I make for Andrew Berry? Because right now, like, if you're telling me they're staying, guys, it's hard to make reasons. It's much easier to make excuses. Well, this is what went on against Kevin Stefanski and why we keep Kevin Stefanski. You're 3-10. It's going to turn into a... You can be mad all you want for hearing me say that. It's going to turn into a lot of excuses. That's why you hold on to guys. So what are we doing here to make this thing better for the future? And if you were to let go to Kevin Stefanski, I have a lot more ideas for better replacements if you were to do that than I would for Andrew Berry. And I don't want to get rid of Kevin Stefanski. I don't want to do that. But with Andrew Berry, you're leaving me very little choice. The only other thing I would say is that they must be a package deal then. Like, if I'm going to go in with Andrew Berry, then does, or if I'm going to go in and make that decision with Andrew Berry, my one argument for him is that if you replace Andrew Berry but you don't replace Kevin Stefanski, then you have mixed up the power roles within this football team. Remember, Kevin was hired first, then it was Andrew Berry. If Andrew Berry's let go of, then you're going to have somebody new come in, and they're going to want power because clearly something's not going right. That's what you hired me to do, was to fix this situation. Well, now Kevin's back under the microscope. So if you're going to move on from one, then maybe you need to move on from both. Because I don't know if you can have one without
it
the other.
It is hard.
Or I think, you're putting yourself off the wrong timeline again.
This could be one of those consequences that come along with it. There's no doubt. And I think that's where the Haslams have probably, in their mind, as of maybe 2 weeks ago, they're going to do everything they could to put that off. Because they know how this works. If the GM is gone, then everybody is on notice. And you're kind of going through a very tumultuous time in a front office when you do another GM search that could involve the coach. And the coach could either, at the end of this, be out of a job, or he could be elevated in his standing within the organization. And I think it's very split right now in this community with the Browns organization, with the fans, on how they feel about that. You have people like us who are squarely supportive of Stefanski. You have a lot of other people in a season in which they could finish out 3-14. 3-14.
I think they could win one more. I don't know where, but I think they
could
win one more.
They could also go 3-14. And
now the Bengals game is at Cincinnati.
Given that, very few coaches end up keeping their job after a 3-win season.
Well, they could be 3-14. You're right. Ed, listening on the free Odyssey app in Erie, Pennsylvania. You're next up on the Fan. Ed.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, real quick. Okay, if I'm Haslam, I fire Berry and Stefanski because that's what they do. Okay, then they can bring in two new scapegoats, all right? But you know what? You guys know as well as I do. We're looking at four losing seasons in front of us. Four more losing seasons, no matter what we do. So I'm pretty bummed out about that. I'll let you guys give me your view, and I'm going to hang up.
Whoa, you just say we're going to have four losing seasons in front of me and then not give any sort of explanation? Go ahead.
All right. Oh, because we're going to be back in a rebuild again because we have the highest payroll just about in the NFL. We got a lot of guys that are aging. They're injured. They're this, they're that. And in my opinion, the franchise it is a disaster again, and it's going to take a while now. I don't like it, but that's how it's going to be.
Well, as far as four losing seasons, then the reason you would stay there with that, Ed, and thank you very much for the call, is that, again, from what we know, it's almost as if you make the bed, you're going to lay in it, and you're going to try to dig yourself out of this thing. Because if you bring somebody else in and you feel that you have four losing seasons ahead of you, God forbid, but it could possibly happen, obviously. If you have four losing seasons ahead of you, then if you're letting go of people this year, you're just doing it to placate fans and placate yourself out of anger. If you bring in other people, then if you know you're putting them behind the eight ball, then you're setting up the new people for failure. So if you get another year into this and next year you end up being a 6-win football team, well, eventually we got to move on from that and we got to say enough's enough. So if you were to move on from everybody after a 5 or 6-win season, or maybe even another 3-win season for all we know going into next year, well, then you got a new group that comes in and then you say, hey, the other regime messed things up. You have time. You have time to work. You got to dig in and you got to be able to do this. What I'm hoping that were to happen was that with these 9 draft picks that you have right now, which you probably won't make them all, but say you get 7 draft picks, I got to hit on at least a few of those guys because I got to have some youthful talent that's going to come in and be cheap here. The cap situation, I've heard one guy, exactly one, tell me that the cap situation isn't as bad as what people make it out to be. That's Jack Duffin. And I'd love to ask him because he's flying in the face of everybody who's like, Zach comes on here and it's not even bleak. It's midnight black in front of us with no light. So I need to know about that because if the cap situation isn't as bad, which I hope Jack's right, if the cap situation is as bad as what it is, then no, we shouldn't be sitting here with four years in front of us, a terrible football.
Yeah, I don't think you should ever have to think you're buried for 4 years in the NFL. Not in this league, not with all these teams that make the playoffs. Bad teams make the playoffs. Teams with backup quarterbacks make the playoffs. Like, you're not doomed. And you know, there is a discussion to be had. Like, I think most God, I would think almost 99.5% of teams in this situation, aging vets, expensive roster, and the limited draft capital that they've had over the years, they would just simply have made trades and pivot and rebuild. Like, they would start the teardown and then get going with that. And, you know, hey, the Denver Broncos, this was supposed to be a teardown year. So it doesn't mean you're going to lose necessarily in this league. It still is an unpredictable league, and, you know, new young players, and you're going to get a slew of them this year with the draft. You know, they can make a difference. They as long as obviously they're good selections. But what the Browns are going to try to do could be a nightmarish disaster, which is we are going to keep our expensive aging veterans as they age out of their prime. We're going to keep them because we have this agreement with the fans, you know, given the situation over the years with this team being one of the worst teams in professional sports. Like, we're going to do everything we can to optimize this. We're going to do everything we can to protect this version of the team you've fallen in love with over the years, and try to soak out as much as you humanly can, wring out any extra wins and winning seasons that you can.
The only argument,
I don't think most teams would just tear down.
But wait a minute. If they're winning seasons, then if I can take winning seasons and I can turn them into something, that's fine. That's Steelers-esque. Now, that's the only comparison I'll ever make. That's the only time I'll ever throw their names in the same sentence for a long time until they play each other again next year. The Steelers will do, well, hey, let me get to a winning season, and then let's figure out what happens afterwards. And yeah, they lose to better football teams. They'll probably lose to Kansas City or Buffalo, and they'll have the same old lament that Steelers fans usually do. But what you just gave me was, if we can go out and we can have winning seasons, our problems are not as big as some of the other problems around the NFL. Most of the problems around the NFL. Because Ed, as downtrodden as Ed is in that call, Ed just gave me the best argument to keep the guys. If you sincerely think that we have 4 years of terrible football, why do I bring in other guys where I know that they're just going to be used up and used by patsies anyway, and by the time we get to year three, I'm going to want those guys fired anyway? Why would I do that?
Well,
and
no,
then
you
reset
would be,
my own timeline.
No, what I'm talking about is you would bring in an architect of a rebuild, somebody that would be really good at tearing it down. And, of course, they would have to have the commitment from the Haslams, because how did that work for Sashi Brown? Obviously, not very well. Now, they tore it down to an all-new extreme that we had never seen before in the NFL, and it resulted in, I think...
Because Sashi didn't execute the picks. You have to execute the picks.
Yeah.
You can, like you said, any idiot can tear down, but while you tear down, you have to execute the picks. We always brought up Jimmy Johnson with the Cowboys back in the day. It's like, look at what the picks he got for Herschel Walker, and look what he turned those draft picks into. Any idiot can get a bunch of draft picks. You got to get those guys, and that's why these nine picks, like, it would have to start now with whoever is in charge, whether it be Andrew Berry or whether it be anybody, Glenn Cook, Catherine Raich, whoever it might be. I'm just thinking of people off the top of my head. Whoever it would be, they would have to execute those picks and get it started as soon as they can. Guardians put out a statement yesterday. A lot of people are upset with this. An update regarding Guards Fest moving forward from the Guardians says, quote, "The Cleveland Guardians today announced Guards Fest will move to a tri-annual event, with the next targeted fan fest occurring following the 2026 season. After conducting fan outreach from the past several events, shifting to every 3 years allows us to ensure the best experience and events for all fans." I have a way I took that, but I want to see if you agree with me.
Well, I just assumed it was losing a lot of money. Like, they would definitely not pivot from something that makes them a lot of money. There's no chance. So has the attendance gone down? Has the event gotten worse, causing the attendance to go down?
I don't think the event has got... How could the event get worse? I would imagine it's some of the same stuff every year. But if it's... I would imagine the attendance has gone down. That's why. Like, that to me, when they write, after conducting fan outreach, are they just looking at attendance numbers?
Yeah, like the outreach, people said there have been surveys. Well, I imagine the surveys are, yeah, we love this event. But if the actual people with their wallets aren't really matching that, then...
Yeah, what's the fan outreach part of it?
It stands to reason. Oh, I thought they did a bunch of surveys over the years.
Wait a minute. So who are they... Who are they surveying?
They're season ticket holders.
And people that buy tickets out of the box office. I get surveys from them all the time.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, all the Guardians fans talk about the surveys they fill out. You acted like...
I thought they were just season ticket holders who would get surveys.
No, they ask, like, hey, concessions, do you go? Do you spend? Mm. What are you looking for? sometimes they do ask, like, have you attended Guards Fest? And I'll say no, and they say why, and I say because I'm busy.
Well, then I don't agree with the research then. Because if they were to go to their season, to me, Guards Fest is for the Guardians fan, the person who really likes the Guardians, and that would be your season ticket holders. Well, clearly, as I'm seeing here on their, just the reactions on social media and in the news and everything, the season ticket holders are very upset about this.
And those are the ones that probably have been going.
But if you just sent something to Ken Carmen in Elyria, Ohio, that goes to three Guardians games a year and goes, hey, here's a survey. Did you go to Guardians Fest? No. Well, I'm with the uptick in attendance that they had last year, I'd be willing to say the vast majority of those people who are not season ticket holders probably didn't go to Guardians Fest. Is that a reason to cancel Guardians Fest?
Yeah, so I got to admit, I'm flying blind here. I've never been to this. We always hear from people every year that this is their one real connection to the team, right? Their ability to meet players, meet the people behind the scenes, like all that stuff is supposed to be very cool for them and their families, their kids. So it stands to reason that the only reason that they would move on from something like this, especially if fans really enjoyed it, was that fans stopped going to it. And now that's a whole nother can of worms. Why would that be?
I would imagine, though, like, I don't know the attendance numbers. I got to see the attendance numbers. But in any defense of this, like, what am I supposed to do? Do you want me to bring in somebody from the Guardians here? Because that's not going to be good. Because when you write after conducting fan outreach, because it reads right there as if you're saying, yeah, you guys didn't want to come, and so we're going to make it a triannual event. Because if we have it every 3 years, then we'll really get the attendance that we want. Because then there will be a thirst to go see them.
But, you know, what's so interesting here is I feel like the Guardians, given the season they just had, they've been good almost every single year. They've always been in and around the playoff hunt, and the local TV ratings have skyrocketed. Their attendance last year skyrocketed. So the enjoyment in the team is right back up to some of the better levels we've had, you know, dating back to the 90s. I'm not exactly sure what's going on here with this event.
That's why I think this year you have to eat the cost. I think you have. I don't know what the cost of it is, but you have to do it. You had to do it this year. This is terrible, terrible, terrible timing for this to come out. The fever for this team. You mean you look at the landscape of Cleveland sports right now. People are as down on the Browns as I've seen them since the 2016-2017 season right now. After the magic of last year, they are as down and cynical about them as they've been since this show first started, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavs, I mean, good God almighty, we're giving away tickets at 8:45. People are loving. They put on a great show. I told you, how many people do we know who have bought ticket packages of some sort, whether it be for four games, whether it be for the rest of the season? And then you have the Guardians here. Great season, ALCS, first time in 8 years.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of goodwill. Stephen Vogt, we're canceling Guards Fest this year.
Right.
That's not good, man.
You would think this
is a bad decision.
The opportunity to really pounce on...
That's a bad decision.
You know, not only an audience, not only a captive audience, but one that seems very excited about the future of the ball club. And you just had the big news about Shane Bieber coming back, that you signed him to a deal like this. There is a lot of excitement here.
Could you have got Shane to come back and sign autographs and done one of the talks and things like that over at the Guardians Fest?
Yeah, well, I imagine they were always doing that stuff, right?
Well, they've usually had, like, sit-down sessions and somebody hosts it.
Yeah, panel.
Yeah, they tell old stories. I mean, it's almost like a Comic-Con, but for baseball.
So that just leads me to believe they take a bath on this every year and they weren't willing to take a bath anymore, especially losing the local TV money the way they did, which is a huge blow, which we don't want to talk about every day because it's just depressing. But them and 25 other teams are all...
Well, and it's not free.
Right,
it was 15
right.
bucks to get in. You know how much it costs to get a district ticket? 15 bucks.
Right. Yeah.
If I'm choosing between the two tickets, I'm going to the game.
All even right. though you get all the access to the, yeah. At this. Is and there, some people...
Because the access, some of the access, the personal access is extra.
I mean, you just said the quiet part out loud. I knew, guys, we knew they were going to take a bit of a bath this year because of the TV rights. We've been talking about it. I mean, again, you saw the writing on the wall last year when we opened up against the Twins in the first week of the season. And Tom Hamilton saying, like, this is, they took $30 million off their payroll. This is not a sellout on opening day. And the people were upset up in Minnesota. Now, that was a team that was a competitive team 2 years ago, and they took the haircut, and it was a big haircut, and the fans were upset. You could see tough times a-coming, hard times, Daddy. You could see that happening, but there's certain things that you... Okay, charge them $20 a ticket to come in. There's certain things I still think you have to do. Like, I know the economics of baseball. They just signed a guy to $765 million. We're never signing a guy. You can make it 30 years for $765 million. We're never signing a guy to that. I understand that, and I think every Guardians fan out there who's realistic about this, who wants to go to this event, they understand that. They're willing to do things to give you a little bit of leeway there. They're baseball fans. They love the Guardians. They love the team. If you charge them more, you charge them more. Are you telling me the season ticket holders wouldn't pay $25 a ticket to go to this?
Yeah, well, I wonder if the season ticket holders...
Were they getting it for free? Maybe that's part of it. I didn't know.
That's what I wondered, too.
Do you bake that price in then?
Was this part of the value of their season ticket package? I don't know. I'd have to hear from people that committed to this event every year that were excited to go to it, because I saw the outrage yesterday on social media, and I'm trying to connect the dots here. I'm just like, well, they must be losing a ton of money on this, because you would think they would even be willing to take, you know, breaking even on something like this if it meant that kind of outreach to your fans that builds, you know, especially with all the young people. Oh, and you've been to this, right? Don't they cater to the young fans, the families,
been for
the kids?
A few years, but yeah,
this is silly.
It's they do have things for the kids, yeah.
Yes, they should, because baseball is, above all the other sports, still a sport for children in so many ways. And what you do here is, like, this is why I get so angry and uptight about them having how many open training camp days over at the Browns. Like, you have to have some things that aren't, and Lima was right to do it, and I think I was right to do it. Like, hey, you got to keep pressure on them to keep something that's a cheap, viable option for the fans to go to. Now, I know the Browns don't charge for anybody to go to camp. This is supposed to be a $15 ticket. All right, not everything. You can't make everything a premium event for certain people. So if you open this up again, this is going to be the first thing. If you do not go out there and have a good season this year, it'll be the first thing people bring up. Or one of the, and I'm not talking about the regular fan. Regular fans will forget about this. Regular Cleveland sports fans who are focused on the Browns and their mess up and Ohio State and whether or not they're going to be a good football team. Just people who are general sports fans listening to this. This ain't the first things. But your season ticket holder who gets mad at you because you're a Major League Baseball team, you can turn in an 80-82 season. And considering from last year, that would be a disappointment. That's the first thing they bring up. Like, what am I getting for this? I went in, you're supposed to be a better team, we made the ALCS, don't tell me you didn't get revenue from the ALCS, don't tell me you didn't get revenue from the postseason, you didn't pay for some of the players that I wanted, all right, I was willing to follow you because I love a big baseball, I'm a big baseball fan and I love this team, but then you're canceling Guards Fest, or excuse me, you're making it an every 3 year situation, all right, maybe I'll talk to you in 2026. I don't think it's the right decision. I think it's short-sighted. This is supposed to be something for the fans, and to take something like that away is not the right decision to make.
Yeah, well, you wonder if they'll cave to public pressure.
I sure
here.
As hell hope
but,
so.
But then again,
I hope they go, you know what? We did more fan outreach. We found out how angry you guys are. So coming up on January, whatever, we'll have a Guards Fest somewhere, somehow.
But then again, is there a chance that just this thing had cratered in popularity, that the attendance had taken such a substantial dip?
I can't believe it would
have
take
another way
that
to remedy
big of
it.
A dip. The news was there every year. I didn't hear that the attendance was that bad. I never asked. I just assumed that. I didn't think the attendance would be as big as it was a few years. Like, when you have Jose Ramirez or you don't have Jose Ramirez, well, there's going to be a change in attendance. If they know they're going to see Jose Ramirez, a lot of people are going to come. If they don't, there's going to be less people. But this is for, to me, this was always a thing for the most ardent fan. You have to have a cheap option for the people who are season ticket holders, or honestly, the people who are, they are baseball first fans, they're big baseball fans, but they only get to go to one or two games a year. because no matter what I say about, well, you know, they got cheap concessions now and you can get this ticket. You know what? $49 a month just isn't in the cards for them. The ticket prices, they don't drink beer. They don't want to buy concessions. And I could sit there and I could tell you about all the things that you're allowed to bring into the ballpark, and they're just not going to hear it. They're not going to hear it. Maybe they're older. Maybe they're on fixed income. Maybe it is. And this is something that gets them out there in the wintertime to be with your baseball team, to be with your club. I mean, this is an opportunity to grab more foothold. I told you this 2 weeks ago. We're watching a team right now in the Bronx. We're a football region. I watch the Guardians do well. I watch the Cavs do well. We might always be a football region, but right now, you've made this tremendous investment on this player and on this football team that has not come up well for you. For the other teams, and I don't think I'm being silly here, for the other teams, it's like, this is a chance to grab a new generation. This is a chance for you to grab a foothold in there where it's like, hey, man, I'm not saying to never be a Browns fan again. I'm saying that I would like to play a bigger part in your life as the baseball team in town, as the basketball team in town, to do what's necessary to cultivate that relationship so the 12-year-old is Guardians first when he becomes a taxpayer, when he becomes a homeowner, hopefully, and when he becomes a person that takes his kids to sporting events when he has the disposable income. That's what you're trying to aim for. You got to play the long game here. And to make it an every 3-year situation, I'm sure they have all the economics in the world that tell me that I'm wrong. I respectfully disagree. There's certain things that you have to do to put out for your fans. And I think that this is one of them. An off-season event. It's cold outside. It's after. Owen, if you disagree or agree, I think you agree. It's cold outside. We're getting ready for winter. We're sick of winter. We're trying to look forward to spring. All of a sudden, I got Guardians players here. I'm thinking about baseball again. It's a great way to do it. Charles and Chardon, real quick, go.
Hey, you're spot on right about the Guard Fest. But I'm more upset about him not re-signing Alex Cobb and Matthew Boyd.
I would be more upset about Matthew Boyd. I'm not really as upset about Alex Cobb. I don't. Again, if he just refuses to dip his hand in pickle juice like Nolan Ryan did, then I can't say anything for him about his blisters. I didn't honestly, Charles. I've just accepted it that they weren't going to be able to re-sign those guys, and that's why. And I think a lot of people did, and so this is why I'm a little bit more upset about Guards Fest, because it's like I knew you weren't going to be able to sign players. We're talking millions of dollars, but an event for your fans that are going to be with you through the thick and thin. And even though it's thick on the field, I know it's got to be thin in the bank account. That just doesn't sit well.
Okay, have a good one. Thanks.
You too, Charles. Thank you very much for the call.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, as we first reported a couple weeks ago, there was a bit of a fight in Fairview Park about the holiday spirit. The coarsening of Christmas.
Wasn't enough holiday spirit.
In Fairview. The removal of the arches. For those that don't know, Fairview Park has a street called Seabury that has amazing, all-out, comprehensive lights, Christmas lights, holiday lights, amazing displays, amazing exhibits. They even handed out hot cocoa the last 2 years that we had gone. And they had those amazing arches, Kenny, to where the arches would go over the driveway. They'd all be lit up fantastically. It would be a beautiful scene. Really felt like a Hallmark Christmas card.
Mm-hmm.
And then some neighbors were protesting. And then some people in the political realm said, well, can't allow some of this to continue. It's becoming a distraction. We have, did they say... some people exposed themselves going to the bathroom.
Yeah, they were used there, hitting the can in the bushes.
So there was a bunch of foot traffic.
Yeah.
And that annoyed some of the neighbors that maybe didn't have displays, you know, the Grinches.
Yeah.
But understandably, it could be annoying, and it went on for like 4 weeks every night. So obviously that got people fired up. Well, we went last night, took the kids, because we thought, nice weather.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't have the element of snow, which maybe that's why some people stayed away, because there was basically nobody there.
Okay.
When the last 2 years that we went, it was jam-packed. I mean, everywhere you look, it was hard to find parking. Yesterday, we just casually, you know, pulled on up, and it was still very nice. I would say a fraction of the displays. I think a lot of people took their ball and went home.
Oh.
There were no hot cocoa. None of it.
Well,
none of that.
Are they waiting for a certain week to serve the hot cocoa?
I don't know. And
was
maybe
it raining out yesterday over
maybe,
there?
Not when we went. When we went, it was actually perfect. Oh. But like the Star Wars house, which I'd seen 3 straight years, that was gone. So those people clearly said we're done with this, and it had eroded drastically compared to what we've seen the last few years.
So they've officially killed the holiday season over there.
You just missed the date. I'm on the Community of Fairview Park page, of which I'm a member, you know.
Of course you are, yes.
Of course, that's right.
A vaunted member.
Right. I love being a member of our community in Fairview Park. Bill and Diane McVicker posted...
The McVickers.
...that it is with a sad heart that we will need to post that we are not opening our elf tent as usual right now. They did say, though, I'm paraphrasing here some of it, and it was because of how things have went on Seabury, but it said December 20th through Christmas Eve, it'll be open. They'll have the cocoa then.
So we might have to go back for the cocoa.
Re-rack it.
Yeah, we might have to go back for the cocoa.
You got
to
re-rack it. They got magic reindeer food. They got merry-go-round rides.
Magic reindeer food.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe you just went a little too early.
No, but the houses that were just dormant.
Yeah, but this was a thing black. That was like from Thanksgiving or Friday on. It was
on.
It was packed, right?
And obviously the news stories got out. All the affiliates covered this hotbed of controversy.
So who was the fun sucker who called up and complained first?
Yeah, what was the rationale, right?
Bill and Diane McVicker.
It wasn't Bill and Diane. No, I've never met Bill and Diane, but I'm sure they're wonderful people.
I remember some of the complaints were the parking situation. And I get it. If you lived on that street and didn't really participate, it'd probably be annoying.
See, my issue was the taxpayer. Because remember, we argued about this. And I had said that when you're talking about putting a cop and sitting them out there in someone's driveway with already stressed public services as you have there in the city of Fairview Park, as you would have with any city, that, it might cause a bit of a row. I need cops on the beat doing cop things. I don't need them sitting at the end of someone's driveway while you guys all walk down your thing. But this is not the response I wanted. I did not want the thing to be partially shut down.
And here's what I'm nervous about. In today's...
Ruins the season.
Yeah. In today's, obviously, we have these inflamed passions on everything, whether it's political, even our sports teams can tear us apart at times. We still have community. We need community. Yes. We need to go outside. We need to see people in our community.
That's a damn shame.
It can't just be an argument about something you saw on TV and politics every day. You need to be able to go out, wave to your neighbors, and, you know, even if it means maybe having a few too many drinks and, you know, using someone's bushes.
As a bathroom.
Yeah, as a bathroom. You still need to be able to do these things. It's what is firmly entrenched as a part of Americana. And as these things erode over time, you lose that community.
Those azaleas, they work just like the old troughs at Municipal Stadium. It's amazing. That's a shame. I feel bad.
Fill them with ice first.
You got to pour ice down there. That's the secret.
Oh, yeah.
I feel bad now. I feel partially responsible. I didn't like the use of public services to patrol this, and I didn't realize the situation I was getting in. You need to go back. If you guys remember, you will watch the holiday classic, It's a Wonderful Life. And if you do not remember, you shall remember this, is that when they're walking down the street, for whatever reason, in Bedford Falls, New York, there is just a cavalcade of people walking down a neighborhood street, unlike you've never seen in any neighborhood at any time of year, in any time in anybody's life. That's what you need. This is a situation where Mr. Potter wins. This is
you
a realistic
Mr.
thing
Mr.
where Mr. Potter
win.
Wins. He's an old man, and most people hate him, but he doesn't care, and you need to be that. We need to go back on this. If you're out in Fairview Park, please, you know what?
Reconsider.
Contact them in the public and make a reconsider. Clean up.